All right, we're ready. We're just running around behind a little bit here now. I want to welcome you, welcome our visitors, certainly. It's very nice to have. We've got people from a variety of different congregations here this morning for different reasons. Every time it snows, we get to see some and such. Nice to have you all here this morning. Before we get started here, how many of you, if you had the flu this morning or a fever, would not show up? Yeah, everybody, right? So the situation we have, as you all know probably by now, is that the respiratory virus has a 2-week incubation in which you're contagious, but you don't know you're sick. And we have a population at our congregation that is susceptible to that. They're in the risk factor, and we're just trying to be slightly more cautious than normal. So get this out of the way now so that we can actually concentrate on the things that we want to concentrate on when our worship begins. We have the bread is actually in foil. People who are serving are just going to walk down the aisles. You're going to grab one out in order to just try to reduce the amount of touching of things and passing germs around. For the fruit of the vine, please just, again, take a cup out. Don't put it back in. These seats have, I believe, a spot in the front. You can just stick it in there. If you don't want to do that, just stick it underneath. And then at the end, we'll come by and pick up, after services, pick up the trash afterwards, okay? In order just to keep and try to reduce things. I would also like to remind you just of my sermon last Sunday, where we talked about compassion. And the compassion that we have is one in which we share with one another. And this is a time in which there's a lot of fear and panic. Children of God, don't panic, right? We have hope. We have all the things that we need. And now is the time in which not just showing love to one another, but to our neighbors, like literally our neighbors and our coworkers, those who need to see the love of God and to see that there are people who don't have to panic in life, right? This is our opportunity to shine and to have a light. Just want to read beginning of Psalm 9. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell you all your wonders. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. This morning we're going to sing praises. We're going to join together, worship our God, and it's going to be marvelous.
Amen.
Let's pray. Most gracious Father, we do come to you this beautiful Lord's Day, just thanking you for everything you've done for us. Thanking you for the much needed rain and snow that we've experienced in the last day or two and continue to experience. Lord knows, you know we need it. We also want to thank you for this congregation here in Rescue, that the brothers and sisters in Christ, it's such a blessing to be a part of this brethren and sisterhood, and we're just so blessed as a congregation, Lord. And most of all, Lord, we're thankful of you, of your love, of the love you've shown, that you sent your Son to come down and die on a cross, Lord, and shed his blood so that we can live, so that we can worship you directly, and that you do not see our sins anymore because it's been washed away through the blood of the perfect Lamb. Father, there are many, again, that are not here today because of illnesses or fear of illness and those that are traveling, Lord, and we just ask that your healing hand be upon those that need your touch, whether it's spiritual or physical. We also ask that your guardian angels watch over those who may be traveling, Lord, and bring them back into our fold here soon. And Father, we especially want to thank this day, Lord, that we have a brother here, Brother T-Bone, that came to us to help us and assist us in directing our worship in a better mode to you, Lord. He's such a blessing, and he's so talented, and and passionate for what he does. And I know you bless him, Lord, and we hope that you continue to bless him in his endeavors and his travels to other congregations throughout the land, and that other brothers and sisters in Christ will appreciate and learn from the his guidance on directing our worship to you, Lord, because that's what it's all about, is directing our hearts, our minds, our soul to you. Especially, Lord, now that the world is fearful and the world is focused on a microscopic little bug right now. But we, Lord, are focused on you. We focus on you, and it's our desire and hope and prayer that our worship is directly to you, Lord, and that our songs of praise and our hearts are truly a sweet aroma to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, everyone, this is the moment that we prepared for all weekend. So allow your minds, your hearts, to now get ready to go before the throne of God. We're getting ready to Febreze heaven. You're getting ready to give the Lord all that you have, your heart, your mind, and your soul. You're getting ready to use all four lobes of those brains that we just talked about and what we learned about how to activate them. So our call to worship song is going to be the one that we just learned, which is called Awesome, Awesome God. So remember, service will be a little bit different today. So you'll be known from the PowerPoint. So there'll be songs in the lesson, Lord's Supper, songs in the lesson, and then we will close. So it will be an integrated lesson today. All right, Awesome God. Do ti la so fa.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is awesome. He reigns from heaven with power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is awesome. He reigns from heaven with power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome God. Now when he made the earth in the darkness of the mist, our God is an awesome God. There's thunder in his footsteps, lightning in his fist. Our God is an awesome God. And the Lord wasn't laughing when he threw them out of Eden. And we're the reason that he shed his blood. His return is very soon, and so you better believe our God is an awesome God. Yes, we know that he's awesome. And here he is with power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome, and we know that he's awesome. And he reigns with power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome God. Now when the sky was starless in the void of the night, our God is an awesome God. He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
His judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. His mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgot. Our God is an awesome God. Yes, we know that he's awesome. And here he is with power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome, and we know that he's awesome. And here I am with power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power and love. Our God is an awesome. Yes, we know. And here I am with power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome, and we know that he's awesome. And here I am with power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Amen. So have you ever played the whisper game as a kid? The whisper game. And you know the whisper game, it starts out and you have a group of people and you say something in someone's ear and it goes down the line. So maybe you might say in the ear, Margo secretly loves to eat cheese. But then what happens is when it travels by time, it gets to the end, it doesn't sound anything like the way that it started out. So then it ends up with a Taco Bell chicken quesadilla with extra creamy jalapeno sauce. Now, this is somewhat understandable when we think about this, when we talk about the whisper game. It's like saying a secret. When you say something in secret, you just never know how it's going to actually come out on the other end. Well, what is interesting when we look at Jesus in John chapter 18 and verses 20 through 21, what he said to them was he didn't really say anything in secret. He says, I have spoken openly to the world, and I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret, so why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said. They know what I said. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the most misunderstood person in all of history, and that is Jesus. Jesus the Christ. We're just going to take a look at a few points on why Jesus might be considered one of the most misunderstood people who ever have lived on this earth. Jesus, many of the things that he said, people, they didn't get him, so he would say things like, I am the bread of life. But people, they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. Jesus would say things like, I am the way. And yet people didn't understand, wait, where are you going? Where are you leading us, Jesus? Jesus would say things like, I am the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. I am the Lamb. And yet people did not understand. And Jesus would say, I am the resurrection. And yet still, he was often misunderstood. Well, why? Why was Jesus misunderstood? Why is he one of the most misunderstood people in history? And not just in those times, Jesus is still the most misunderstood person during our time. Amen. I'm going to give you 3 points to think about. And the first one is one of the reasons that Jesus is one of the most misunderstood people is because they misunderstood that actually he is God. He is God. That's one of the reasons he's the most misunderstood. Understood, because people didn't accept him as God. And still, even today, people aren't accepting him as God. Now, here's a little thing I want to share with you, and this comes from the first verse in the Bible. which is, of course, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. All right, we can probably all quote it, right? So in the beginning, God created the heavens. Okay, so you're partially correct. You're partially correct. In the beginning, okay, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I have the Hebrew under there just for a certain reason. Okay? So, Bashadet Bada Elohim, Et Shahayimim, Et Ha'aretz. So, actually, the word that is used there, and you'll even notice for heavens and for God, has an im on the end, which means that it's a plural intensive. Plural intensive. What it means is more than one, but yet functioning and working together as one. Jesus is one of the misunderstood people in history because here it is, the Holy Spirit is given for us right here in the beginning. All three are there, Elohim, plural, many, those three. And yet people say, well, there's only God the Father. What happened to the Spirit? What happened to Jesus? Are they not considered God? Well, the Holy Scripture says they're right in the language that is used, Elohim. So that would start giving us the case of, well, maybe it's possible that Jesus is also God, but he's one of the misunderstood because he's not accepted as God. When Jesus was talking with the Jewish people in John chapter 8 and verses 52 and 53, and they were starting to question him, he says, you're greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Who are you, Jesus? You're making all these claims. And so it says that the Jewish people said to him, you're not even 50 years old. How can you say, what do you know, Jesus? Who are you? And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am, or it means I existed. So they picked up stones to throw them at Jesus, and Jesus hid himself from out of the temple. Well, guess what? I was searching the internet last night, and you know what? I found out there were people still that believe that Jesus is not God. Jesus is still being misunderstood. I was looking at some of the videos. Oh, 10 reasons why Jesus is not God, or Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but he's not God himself. So notice the misunderstanding continues even till today. Years later, people are still misunderstanding that Jesus is God. Now I'm going to tell you why for us it's important that we realize that Jesus is God. And this is from Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 17 through 18. And this is what I want you to see when you see this verse. I want you to notice how much God loves you, what God is willing to do for you. It says, therefore, talking about Jesus, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. We have one of, if you want to say, of all the many different gods that people come up in within the world, we have the only one who was willing to come and take the form and knows why it says, so they can be merciful, so he can be faithful, so he can be a high priest for us. See, I'd rather have Jesus than Zeus because Zeus just throws a lightning bolt down, smashes me to pieces. Talk about having a bad day. Jesus understands. Jesus suffered. And so he can relate to me. And so that's why when we talk about Jesus, it's important for us to realize that Jesus is God. Our God, he is alive. Amen. Okay. We will sing the chorus twice, so watch me when we get to the end. Convenient, please stand for the song.
There is beyond the azure blue a God. steal from human sight. He tests God with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with his great might. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. There was a long, long time ago a God whose voice the prophets heard. Should know who speaks from his inspired word.
There is a God.
He is alive. In him we live. And we survive from dust our God created man. He is our God. My God holds the germ within his hand. Though men may search, they cannot find, for God alone doth understand. There is a God, he is alive, in him we live, and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. There is a God, there is a God, he is all I am.
The next point we want to make when we're talking about Jesus being one of the misunderstood individuals of all time is that people actually misunderstood his kingdom. Totally misunderstood his kingdom. And that's because everyone was looking for a physical kingdom. And so when Jesus would come and he would talk about his kingdom and say that my world, whatever, is not this kingdom, people would be really confused. People would misunderstand. But you know, here's the thing, that Jesus actually came back to restore the kingdom to the rightful place, because remember in 1 Samuel, the children of Israel, the children of strife is what their name means, that they said, now appoint to us a king to judge us like all the other nations. But it says the thing displeased Samuel. And when they said, give us a king to judge over us. God was the rightful king. But the children of strife, the children of Israel, they wanted to be like the other nations. They wanted to have a physical king. And that whole mentality continues even all the way up to the apostles' day in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. And so when they had come together, they're talking to Jesus, Lord, is it now at this time you're going to actually restore Israel? Are we going to be our height and power again? Are we going to have a king? Are we going to have our physical king? So all those years, the mentality still is misunderstood as man is looking for a physical kingdom. And you know what? It's still misunderstood today in 2020. People are looking for Jesus to come back and set up a physical kingdom. They're looking for him to come back and to reign on the earth. But Jesus, before his death, when he's talking there to Pilate in John chapter 18 and verse 36, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And he says, "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." But unfortunately, Jesus is misunderstood and people are fighting these days. Fighting in places. Politics surround being misunderstood when Jesus talks about kingdom. Because some are still looking for the kingdom to be set up here on earth. The Jewish people, they're like, "Jesus, give us a sign," in John chapter 2 and verses 18 through 21. And so the Jews said to him, "Come on, Jesus, give us a sign. Show us." But Jesus answered, and this is what he says to them. He says, "Destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up." And then the Jew says, "It's taken us 46 years to build this temple. And will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. I'm trying to bring back, once again, the kingdom that was there from the beginning, but yet you don't understand. You're thinking about mortar and bricks and stones. But particularly when he's talking with them there, when he's talking about the kingdom, he's talking about the beginning. He's talking about his death and his burial. But then once again, when Jesus makes those statements, he goes down in history once again, negated as not being king, negated as not being savior in the minds of many. But see, here's the cool thing for those that are following him. But in the minds and the hearts of his people, his death, his burial, and his resurrection for us is forever entrenched that Jesus is our Savior. He's our King. He is the reason that we exist.
Amen.
That's the King that we serve. The misunderstood Jesus about his kingdom. But because of what Jesus did for us, because he died, because he was buried, and because he rose, we today are here as part of that kingdom. We get to worship in part of that kingdom. So the next couple of songs, we're going to focus our minds on that death, that burial, and that resurrection that Jesus did for us so that we could be part of this spiritual kingdom that is here today and that the Lord has blessed us to be part of it. Beautiful Lamb of God.
Beautiful Lamb of God, guiltless and pure as snow, gentle and merciful, beautiful Lamb of God, sent from the Father's love, sent from the throne above, sent to redeem us with his love. Beautiful Lamb of God, guiltless and pure as snow, gentle and suffering great pain for us.
the nursery. Each turn to his own way, but Jesus will take our sin away. Beautiful Lamb of God, guiltless and pure as snow, gentle and
exalted. After this, the Lord's Supper will be offered. Do, so, mi, do, do, so, do. Known before the world, the lives by righteous minister of God, sent as David said, granted all the earth, exalted, sing with blinded eyes, throned upon a cross, exalted, scorned by those who were loved with a beloved Son of God. Take my death, Jesus, Son of God, exalted, exalted.
Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For we grew up before him like a tender root, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging, we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. He was oppressed, he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to slaughter. Like a sheep before its shearers is silent, he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself a guilt offering, if he would see his offspring, he would prolong his days. And the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. It was the good pleasure of the Lord. God, before creating all three, all of God, decided that you and I were so valuable that despite us leaving God, despite us being enemies of God, that he would reconcile us back. It pleased God to do this because of the love that he has for us. Over the last couple days and this morning, we have sung about the Lamb of God. And indeed, Christ is pictured as the Lamb of God so often in the Old Testament. Before time, he is going to be the sacrifice that brings peace again. John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. The Lamb of God, Christ, who is described as the Passover Lamb, one without blemish, one whose bones would not be broken, one who, just like the Passover Lamb, would protect the people from the wrath of God, he would restore us. He would restore us so we were no longer enemies. All the way even into the New Testament, in Revelation, there's John. He's told, behold, it's okay. You can stop crying. The Lamb of Judah is behind you. He can open the scroll. And he turns, and who does he see? He sees but a lamb as if it had been slain. The Lamb of God takes away our sins. Also in Revelation, now, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, and who accuses them before God day and night? And they overcame because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony. We overcome because of the blood of the Lamb. This morning, at this time, we reflect upon that. We have been singing praise and honor to God for so many reasons. Because we recognize him as our creator. We recognize him as our sustainer of life, the one who holds the germ in his hand. But we recognize that he is our salvation. He is our hope. We remember through the bread that a body was prepared and came, that he dwelt on this earth so that he could be the one who would understand us. He could be the perfect one to intercede. The blood reminds us of the new covenant that seals us, the new covenant that's given, such that we can be saved. The new covenant that brings about our freedom. We are no longer bound in sin, but now in righteousness. This morning we'll remember these things. We'll remember who we are and who we belong to. The incredible sacrifice that was given because God loves us.
Father in heaven, we come to you now remembering your Son, whose body was hung on that cross for us. It was our sins that put him there. Thank you so much for this sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Will you bow with me? Our God and Father in heaven, as we prepare to take of this fruit of the vine, we do remember what the scriptures say. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And the blood of animals cannot take away sins. It is for this purpose Jesus Christ was born into this world. He came a physical being that he might die and shed his blood on our behalf, that we might have access to the forgiveness of sins for those who have obeyed the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
The grace that God has shown us is, I guess it's all unfathomable, right? It's something we just cannot even imagine, that love. And we receive it as, in essence, love, right? An incredible love. God's people are a people that are to love, to show compassion, to care for people, to care for one another, to worry about the souls of the world for each of them. Because indeed, each are a child of God. Each are a soul that's immortal. We, in this group, have signed up for some things. People we support locally, people we support within the United States, Ukraine, around the world, to help tell about the love that that God has for us, so that they can become children of God, so that they can understand their place in who God is. This morning, we're going to just leave the offering tray up here. Afterwards, if you would like to give, please come forward and just do that at that time. But let's pray. Holy Father, we love you and we are humbled by who you are, by the love that you have for us. We know that you have asked your children throughout time, both Old and New Testament, to care for one another and to give of their means, to be generous, to look after the things of you, to remember that this world is not our home. We're truly just passing through. Father, we pray that we will take that to heart, that we will think and dwell upon the things that are indeed the things of you, that we will have spent time this week thinking about how we can give of our energy and our time to promote the things that are of you, that we could behave and act as your children. Father, we pray that you will bless the monies that are provided today, that the eldership here at Rescue will use it wisely and according to the things that you desire. And it's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
So the most misunderstood person in the history didn't understand, they misunderstood that Jesus was God, they misunderstood that his kingdom was spiritual, and then there was one last thing. They misunderstood his interest in sinners. They misunderstood his interest in sinners. When Jesus was here, even the Jewish people, they were having a hard time to relate to this person who, as they say, is supposed to be holy, but yet you are around sinners, you're dealing with sinners. In Mark chapter 2 and verses 15 through 16, as he reclined at the table in his house with tax collectors and sinners, Jesus and his disciples, there were many who followed him, and the scribes and the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? They misunderstood his interest in sinners. When Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, boy, that was a no-no, right? And so he's talking there to the woman at the well. And so when the disciples came back, they're like, what? Why are you talking to her? Notice the reaction, because they don't understand Jesus' interest in sinners. In John chapter 4, 27, 28, then the disciples, they came back and they marveled that he was talking with a woman. A woman. But no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? And so the woman left her water jug and went away into the town and said to the people, Jesus, you're talking to these sinners. You're talking to the, what are you doing? In Matthew chapter 15, there was a Canaanite woman. And she has someone who is sick. And so she's running and following after the disciples. And she's crying out to Jesus. Says, behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out. And she was crying. Canaanites, ooh, we don't want to mess with those Canaanites. And she's like, have mercy on me. Oh, Lord, son of David, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer a word. Then the conversation continues, and he says, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. What? Did Jesus just say that? When talking to the Canaanite woman? And notice what the disciples are doing. They're begging him, send her away, Jesus. We don't want to deal with her. Just send her away. Oh, Jesus, that was a great jab that you just said. Oh, I can give the bread to the dogs. So if it were to be on today's front news, it would say, the Christ insults a Canaanite. That's how it would come across in the news. But I want you to notice after Jesus' reply, which really totally just threw the disciples off. Because she said, well, but you know, even the dogs are at the feet of the master's table. And Jesus says, oh, woman, great is your faith. Be done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed. And guess what was the reaction of the disciples? What? Because they didn't understand Jesus' interest in sinners. Well, there's one more, and that was the paralytic. And so Jesus heals the paralytic, and he tells the paralytic, hey, your sins are forgiven. And oh, the Pharisees, they went crazy. What? Forgiving sins? Who is this man? It says, but when he heard it, he said to them, well, those who have no need of physician, but those who are sick. So go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and sacrifice, for I came to call not the righteous, but I came to call sinners. I'm going to ask you this point, and I want you to think about it. When we talk about Jesus' interest in sinners, are we modern-day Pharisees? Do we have the same interest in sinners that Jesus had in sinners? Or is he for us still one of the misunderstood people in history? What is our life saying? Is it saying that we take the same understanding, that we take the same urgency when it comes to showing interest in sinners? Showing compassion for others. Yeah, preferring those of the household of faith, but that doesn't mean to leave the others out. Jesus, one of the most misunderstood people in history, the Christ. But as we as followers, do we really love and obey and relate to him as God? Okay. Not my magic genie who gives me everything that I want, but as God, my Savior, my Lord, my King. Are we so concerned about the physical? Or are we like Jesus really concerned about the spiritual? Or is Jesus misunderstood for us as he is also for the world? And then what is our concern for sinners? We see Jesus' interest. He's talking to someone like, what, Canaanite? Well, and I want you to know there are a lot of times when Jesus says, well, I'm not supposed to be talking to you yet, but you know what? I'm still going to heal you and help you. I came to the lost sheep of Israel, but you know what? Heal. You're healed. Because that was the concern that he had for sinners. Most misunderstood, still misunderstood. So I'm going to ask you today, do you understand who he is? In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15, when they had come down, Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? The world says, I'm this, you're one of the prophets, but who do you say that I am? Hopefully, being here today has shown that you believe Jesus is God, that you believe that the kingdom is spiritual, and that you believe that sinners are important. He's the Son of God for us. We're continually helping to build the spiritual kingdom, and we have concern for sinners, just like Jesus did. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, and this is the reason I call it a song of encouragement, because I don't know what you need. I really don't know what you need, but I want you to encourage you. I want to encourage you. If you need prayers, then ask for prayers. If you need help from your brother and sister, I encourage you to ask. In other words, it means you have to do something.
if you've been struggling like we talked about, you brought your stuff with you here, bring it now to the feet of Jesus and allow it to stay there so that when you walk back out, you don't have to pick it up. And ask your brothers and sisters to help you. If you've come here and you're like the woman at the well, Jesus has an interest in sinners, and he wants you to be here because he has a group of people that can share with you, that can teach you what you need to do to obey his word and go down in that watery grave of baptism and come up a new creature and have instant family. Instant family. That word means a lot to me. Because a lot of times when I share my past, my background, you know, my childhood and stuff, they're like, oh my goodness, you have a traumatic family bringing. I said, yes, but I said, you know what, in the past years, God has given me more fathers, more sisters, more daughters, more brothers and sisters than I could ever ask for. And that's why it's great to be part of this family. We sing the song of encouragement. The song is Come Just As I Am. That's what the song is. Come just as I am. Come broken. And that's why I'm saying if you brought it here, bring it. Bring it and lay it at the feet of Jesus and leave it there so you can walk out released and free. And your brothers and sisters can help you. Whatever that song means for you, okay, I encourage you to take those steps as we stand together and sing our song of encouragement, Just As I Am.
Just as I am without one plea, but with thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. I I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I welcome with open heart, praise God, just as I am. Praise God, just as I am.
Let us bow. Master God, we come at this time and we thank you, Father, for just being the God that you are and not a God like man. We thank you, Father, for your majesty. We thank you for allowing us to call you our Father, our God. We thank you, Father, for your power, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the love that you have for mankind. Father, you love us even when we don't deserve it, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the power of forgiveness. We thank you, Father, for the power of resurrection from the dead. We thank you for that, Father. Father, we thank you for filling our cup. We thank you for blessing us, Father, and I pray that we will, every day that we live, Father, realize that our blessings and our love comes from you. You deserve that praise, Father, because you are so awesome. You are our God. And Father, I pray and that you will bless this world that we live in with healing in a time of distress. I pray, Father, that we will be that beacon of light, Father, that comforts our neighbors in this time of distress. And I pray that we will turn them to you so that they can see your glory, your honor, your majesty. And Father God, we thank you for desiring to have a relationship with us. We thank you for bringing us near to thee. We thank you, Father, for the love. We thank you for the sacrifice. We thank you for this hour of worship. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.